Tonight, our reading for tonight is 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for speaking in tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, that is Jesus Christ, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to my childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly. We see that love of God, even of God, in a mirror dimly. But then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Right. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight's sermon is not meant to be a linear thinker's friend. I'm a fairly linear thinker and a fairly linear preacher, but this message just didn't shape up that way tonight. It's more of, I would say, a little treasure chest, from which I hope you will take from it what you need or what God offers up to you. So the reason we're talking about love tonight, we could have went with transfiguration or the light or something like that, but this coming Sunday is Valentine's Day, and so I thought it would be appropriate for us to think about, to consider love. And it by doing this on Wednesday, it does give us some prep time to get ready for Sunday's Valentine's Day, right? I'm speaking mostly to men right now, and yes, I'm projecting because I need a lot of prep time, so it's good for me to think about this subject in the middle of the week. But love, where should we begin talking about or even thinking about love? There are so many different directions that we could go, and in some ways, that's what I've done. I've just let this sermon kind of take on a life of its own. And again, my hope is it's a little treasure chest with multiple gifts that from God that you can take from it. I wondered if I should take the risk and maybe ask you all what comes to your mind when I say we're going to think about or talk about love tonight. What hits you? Anybody brave enough? Too deep for your what? Too deep. Anybody? What comes to your mind when you think when I mention the word love, or think they say that we're going to think about love? What? Your wife. Okay. Well, that's probably the right answer. Good. Anybody else? Chickens. Family, okay, yeah. All right. Chocolate and roses and romance, come on. I have a book on my shelf that I've used in confirmation for not for a few years. It's a book called Sex, Love, or Infatuation. Does that spur your thinking at all? I know we're not supposed to use that word in church, but whoops. It's part of love, isn't it? It's part of romance. It's part of God's plan, in a sense, to populate the earth. God said in creation, be fruitful and multiply. God's creation is good. Love is good. Sex and love and infatuation. None of these things are bad if kept in the boundaries that are life-giving and healthy and appropriate. Love, that eros love that drives passion, that drives lust, and yes, that even drives sex and sexuality. There are certainly other kinds of love as well. The Greeks understood, they had four words for love: eros, which again is erotic love or romantic love, philos, brotherly love, as in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, storge love, the love that is between a parent and child, and then of course agape love, which is a godly love, an unconditional love, a love that is always giving rather than taking or needing. Jesus said, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom. That is agape love, a love that is always on the go for the other and always giving for the other. Well, in one of these little treasures from the treasure chest tonight, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, says this: Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Again, that giving love, sent his Son. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. Evidence. Love is evidence that God abides within us. Evidence that God is working in us to bring forth goodness and blessing to others. C.S. Lewis is noted for another little treasure in the chest tonight is a mention of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is noted for his writings on love, and most of them came after he had been brokenhearted by love. He lost his wife to death after not so many years, and most of his writings was born out of that pain, out of that brokenness. But in his letter, in a letter to Mrs. Johnson, and I have no idea who Mrs. Johnson is, but it was dated February 19th, 1954, Lewis says this about love. He says, charity means love. It is called agape in the New Testament to distinguish it from eros or storge or philos love that I've already talked about. So there are four kinds of love, all good in their proper place. But agape is the best because it is the kind God has for us and is good in all circumstances. I can practice agape to God. I can practice it to angels, to man and animal, to beast, to the good and to the bad, the old and the young, the far and the near. So Lewis says there's no limits to this agape love. It's a love that gives and gives and gives. He goes on to mention the Apostle Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians that I read for you, and how Jesus said that what we do for the least among us, we do for him. Agape is all giving, not getting, Lewis says. Giving money, he says, is only one way of showing charity or showing love. To give time and toil is far better, he says. And for most of us, it is the harder way of love, to give ourselves or to give time and our energy. It is harder. To give up ourselves is perhaps the most difficult. Jesus says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. It is this agape love that we are called to participate in. But as with Aslan, one of the characters in C.S. Lewis's books, our safety is not promised, not as the world defines safety. In 1958, when Lewis does have his thoughts fully down in a book called The Four Loves, he offers helpful insights into love. Among them is the risk we take in loving. And this is a quote from that book. To love at all is to be vulnerable, he says. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it up carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. And the Christian life is a life of paradox, for we are at once caught in the assurance of God's ever-present and unfailing love, and at the same time, we are caught in a constant stroke of varying vulnerability. Love is both secure and fragile. It is both rooted and vulnerable to the storm, to shipwreck. One of my favorite authors on vulnerability is Brené Brown, and we're going to watch about a 3-minute video from Brené at this time, and listen to what she has to say about love, about Jesus, and about vulnerability.
Jesus makes complete sense to me.
Why?
Because this is my whole thing. I believe God is love. It's that simple and that complicated. And so if you tried to express love to human beings and just came down and said, I am love, love each other, we automatically, because we're so afraid of hard things, we would automatically go to like unicorns and rainbows. And so you would have to send someone to show what love in the flesh looks like. You would have to send, what does love look like? And so otherwise we would romanticize it. We would turn it, we would make it easy, because that's who we are as people. We're going to make it easy. And so then Jesus comes and says, okay, I am love. I sit with the people you're not allowed to talk to. I do all the hard things. I make all the hard choices. I love the people that are unlovable. I feed the people who are not supposed to be taken care of. I don't tolerate shame. I don't tolerate attacks. Like, I'm love, and it's hard and messy and dirty. And if you really love, I mean fierce, big love, you'll become dangerous to people. And so there's no way that most of us could have understood what love was without seeing what love looked like. So to me, it makes perfect sense. And so God is love, and Jesus is what love looks like made flesh. And it's hard, and it's not the default, and it has nothing to do with rainbows and unicorns and fluffy stuffed animals. It's about choosing what's right over what's easy. And we don't want love to do that.
I thought I'd let her break the bad news to you. It's not about unicorns and rainbows. And three adjectives that she used to describe love: it's hard, it's messy, and it's dirty. And I don't think she means dirty as in impure, but just messy. It's like washing dirty feet, right? Dirty clothes, dirty underwear, dirty whatever, because you love. But there's that word again. C.S. Lewis talked about love being hard. She talks about love being hard. And now, finally, the last little treasure that I have is a letter from Lutheran Services of Iowa. And again, March is National Professional Social Work Month. And it's time to recognize social workers and thank them for all they do. At Lutheran Services of Iowa, we are grateful for the many social workers who dedicate their lives to serving our communities across the state. It says, maybe you have never had a social worker involved in your life, yet whether you realize it or not, you have had the benefit of their behind-the-scenes work in your community. Social workers help people help themselves by overcoming life's difficult circumstances or managing challenges of everyday living, poverty, abuse, mental illness, depression, addiction, disability, and many other situations. Iowa wouldn't be the same without the presence, guidance, and empowerment of social workers. They encourage us to thank social workers that we know. And here's a story. Mike remembers feeling angry and depressed, and his family was at the risk of falling apart. When he decided to start therapy services with LSI, Lutheran Services in Iowa, he questioned the decision. Therapy wasn't easy. There it is again. Therapy wasn't easy, and when he missed an appointment, he didn't want to go back. But through working with his LSI therapist, Sherry, for the past several months, he has found ways to grow and heal. During each session, Sherry is there to listen without judgment, and she provides a listening ear for anything Mike wants to talk about. At the end, Mike is always given a type of homework or a lesson to think about until they meet again. While they originally began meeting in person, Sherry has continued to be available through virtual therapy throughout COVID-19 pandemic. Virtual sessions ensure Sherry and Mike can continue to meet regularly on a flexible schedule and from the safety of their own homes. Mike writes this: thank God for working through LSI in person and through telehealth, and especially for Sherry, who helps people like myself who have been lost for years. If I hadn't chosen LSI, I wouldn't have met my therapist, who has truly helped me keep my family and stay alive. I look back at the progress I have made, and I see some light peeking through at the end. That's what love does. That's what messy, dirty, hard love does, is helps us, helps people see the light. Love is not easy. It is hard. It is hard work. It is sacrifice. It's commitment. It's taking up burdens that don't belong to us. Love is patient, it's kind, it's not envious or arrogant or boastful or rude. It does not insist on its own way, and it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Jesus did the hard work of love. He came to us. He gave his life on a cross so that we would have life, so that we could overcome sin and death and the power of the devil. This is a good opportunity for me to say to young people who might be listening and with us tonight, if you're in a place of love that's easy, that's full of joy and infatuation, enjoy that, but keep good boundaries in place because they will help you get to a place where if that relationship is meant to go to the next level, you will find yourself ready to make a commitment that goes beyond those feelings. Commitment to that person, whether in good times or bad, whether in rich times or poverty, whether in sickness or in health. And it's a good time for me to say to those who have been hurt, hang in there. God is with you. God's love will not give up on you. It will not run out on you. It will abide with you. And it's a good time for me to say to those of you who may be thinking of packing it in, take that to Jesus and work it through with him. Ask him to help you find the path forward. I can't tell you what that path is, but I can tell you that if you're on that path with Jesus, you will be okay. You can trust him. You can trust him to lead you from death into life. God will see you through, my friends, for God is love. Amen.